Well, please do open your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 2. And this morning we're going to spend some time together looking at verse 7. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. Now, on the 10th of March this year, a Wizz Air passenger jet travelling from Amman in Jordan to London Luton was diverted to Brindisi Airport in southern Italy because a woman on the flight unexpectedly gave birth. And while we should be impressed by the fact that this healthy newborn was the 75th infant to be born on a commercial flight since records began, I reckon that another passenger, Dr. Hassan Khan, also deserves a mention, because having been told that the aeroplane wasn't carrying a neonatal-sized oxygen mask, a clamp for the umbilical cord, nor a stethoscope, the 28-year-old doctor from Basildon Hospital in Essex helped deliver the baby with some towels. And while the plane's diversion caused Dr. Khan to be late for his shift, his team was quite rightly really impressed with the way in which that young doctor managed the incident. Now, while it is true that this story involves grand detail like a commercial aeroplane and a diversion to southern Italy, when we pause just for a moment, there are areas of humility contained within that short story that we've shared. There are humbling moments as well, aren't there? When the mother's waters broke, and only a pregnant woman really knows what that is all about, when those waters broke, the mother was lying on the floor towards the front of the aeroplane. The mum-to-be wasn't in a modern maternity unit at Watford General or the Lister. Mum-to-be was on the floor of a commercial flight near lots of people she didn't know. Likewise, when Dr. Khan responded to the cabin crew's request for help, while he was in a modern environment, as the doctor considered and reflected on all that was about to occur, as he considered the arrival of new life, all he could take with him into that incident was his knowledge from medical college and some towels. And while it is true that our short text for this morning makes no reference to things like Wizz Air and stethoscopes, what is clear is that just as the baby on that flight was the subject of a humble birth, so too this one, whom the Bible points to from beginning to end. And if we were going to offer a summary for our text this morning, we might say that in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, Luke is going to tell us about Jesus's humble birth. Luke tells us about Jesus's humble birth. Using our earlier reading for background information, just over 2,000 years ago, the opening two verses of Luke chapter 2 tells us that a Roman leader called Caesar Augustus issued a decree of registration. And this registration for tax purposes occurred at a time when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And while Luke notes in scripture that all the world should be registered, we simply take that to mean all who were under occupation of Rome, all who were being led by Rome. All of those people had to go and be registered rather than the whole world that we know today. Now, if that's the big picture, what about the smaller details that Luke gives to us? Well, can you look at your Bibles and follow me as I read verses 4 to 6 again? Starting at verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth." Now, as we consider these verses together, as we build up to our text for this morning, these verses that we've just repeated to each other, they may seem to be no more than a retelling of history. But let's dig a little bit deeper here, because when we do, something quite remarkable is revealed to us. And what do we mean when we speak like that? Well, at the heart of these verses, we learn that Joseph and Mary travel from Nazareth in the north of Israel to Bethlehem towards the south, and they go there to be registered by Rome's administrators. And with verse 6 telling us that on arrival in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth, so it is that a promise made by the prophet Micah is fulfilled. A promise that was made by the prophet some 700 years before Jesus was on earth. A promise that revealed where the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was to be born. Micah chapter 5 verse 2, don't turn to it, I'll read it for us. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 reads, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah." Said another way, Bethlehem in the margins, not such a great place, not on everyone's radar as the place to go to. Bethlehem in the margins of life in Israel, what? "From that place, from you shall come forth for me, declares the living Lord God, one who is." Notice how emphatic the prophet is. "One who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." And taking a moment here, let's consider what Luke has just shared with us. Using Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 to 6, alongside a reference from the Old Testament also, we have learned together that the occupying force of Rome has been used by the living Lord God to fulfill Micah's prophecy. Do we see the link? The tax order given by Caesar Augustus brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem to be registered. And in that place, just as Micah promised 700 years beforehand, the Son of God was born. And having been made ready for Jesus's entrance into the world, let's now get into our short text for this morning. And if you are making notes, our first point goes like this. Heading 1, Mary gives birth to baby Jesus. Mary gives birth to baby Jesus. At the start of verse 7, Luke tells us, can we see this in our Bibles at the start of verse 7? "And she gave birth to her firstborn son." What an amazing verse. Look, I know babies are being born all the time. In 2023, over 130 million babies were born worldwide, and just over 500,000 of those were found in England and in Wales. And these statistics are remarkable. Of course they are. Each child born in 2023 has been made in the image of God, and has the potential to live a life that is holy and pleasing to God the Saviour. But when compared with the arrival of baby Jesus, none of those babies born in 2023 are the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Christ of God. None of those babies born in 2023 will ever be able to say, before Abraham was, I am. Indeed, of those babies born in 2023, it will never be said of any of them that they have the power and the authority to hold all things together in the universe that we know, and so much more that we cannot see. But there is more. Because as we consider further these eight words in verse 7 that have got us underway this morning, having mentioned ever so briefly baby Jesus's divinity, his holiness, having highlighted briefly Jesus as the Christ of God, these opening eight words also speak to us about Jesus's humanity. Talking now in relatively broad terms for the sake of illustration, somewhat like those babies born in 2023, a microscopic fertilized egg given by God attached itself to the lining of Mary's womb. And in that place for the next month, and generally like us, baby Jesus grew at a faster rate than at any other time in Mary's pregnancy. As baby Jesus' spine grows, so the cells on the outside, if you like, the cells on the outside of his spine begin to link up with Mary's blood supply so that he can get all that he needs to grow through the placenta and his umbilical cord. And as baby Jesus grows in a sack of protective water, so he goes from being microscopic to the size of a full stop, to the size of an apple pip and then a raisin. And by the time Mary is 12 weeks pregnant, like us, baby Jesus will have been given 20 mini buds that will later become teeth. He will have his fingerprints. He will be able to curl his fingers and toes and move his legs. Meanwhile, by week 20, baby Jesus will almost be the length of a school ruler and very active. By week 30, baby Jesus will be making breathing movements and might surprise his mother Mary with some hiccups. And then between week 37 and week 40, on average, the baby boy is a little over 3 kilograms in weight, maybe more, and he is ready to be born. And while the baby is still moving around, there isn't so much room for that now, not when you're something like 45 centimeters long. Of all the ways the second person of the Holy Trinity might enter into this fallen world to save his chosen people from their sins, this is how God the Savior ordained it. And it melts our hearts, does it not? Jesus, the Son of God, becomes one of us, albeit sinless in every respect. And as the Braxton Hicks give way to the real thing, so Mary gives birth to her firstborn son, a detail that confirms Jesus' legal rights and obligations in Judaism, a really important point when it comes to what Jesus will do for Jews and Gentiles equally when he dies on the cross. But that detail is to be found in a sermon on another occasion. Having considered the birth of baby Jesus, what next? Well, just like any birth we might be familiar with, after the baby has been born, the baby is wrapped for warmth. And this takes us to our second point this morning, heading to Mary dresses baby Jesus. Mary dresses baby Jesus. Let's return to our verse and follow on. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And then here's the next bit for our study. And wrapped him in swaddling cloths. Now, although it's been a while since I was on a maternity ward, back then the thinking was, while mum was being checked over, if dad was present, then it was an opportunity for dad and baby to go skin to skin. an experience that was enhanced by big, warm, soft towels. The idea being that that bonding moment that was taking place, it wasn't just for the present, but it was for the future, for the long term as well. And as we think about those big, white, fluffy towels on a modern day maternity wing, what of Mary and baby Jesus in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? Well, the text tells us that Mary wrapped Jesus in swaddling cloths. It's an unusual phrase, isn't it? But said with different words, after this young Jewish woman gives birth, Mary followed the custom of her day. She uses strips of cloth torn from something whole to bind round the body of baby Jesus, as much to keep the infant warm as to straighten out his limbs as well. And let's consider this for a moment. For the Son of God from all eternity, the King of the universe from everlasting and to everlasting, for him on earth, there is no special hat and gloves knitted by a doting nana. There's no cute all-in-one from John Lewis. You know those ones with mini crocodiles or giraffes on them. There's no Pampers super dry. There are no gloves to stop the baby scratching his or her face. Indeed, there are no blankets made by G.H. Hurt and Sons, those blankets that are used by our royal family when their babies are born. No, for the infant Jesus, the King of this universe, there's just strips of plain cloth to cover him. God's one-of-a-kind son is wrapped in the lowliest kind of clothing, the lowliest garment that we might imagine, before being put down to rest. And this statement then brings us to our final point for this morning, heading 3. Mary places baby Jesus in a manger. Mary places baby Jesus in a manger. Let's revisit the text for one last time. Verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. As we consider the humble circumstances that surrounded the birth of God's son, Jesus, I wonder, how does this moment that we're describing and sharing, how does it land with us this morning? The second person of the Holy Trinity, this one who has by divine miracle gone from something microscopic to a baby born in ancient Judea, this one that we behold by faith is taking his first rest in a room or perhaps a cave set aside for some animals. And having been born in that place, the Son of God, the maker of the universe, is now resting in an animal feeding trough. A feeding trough that some say was made of stone as opposed to wood. Why does baby Jesus, the Son of God, find himself in a place normally used to hold animals? Luke tells us, doesn't he? There was no place for them in the inn. Because lots of people were responding to Rome's tax order, Bethlehem was crowded, wasn't it? The best that could be found for Joseph and his pregnant wife was a space used by animals. And it's just as the songwriter describes it. Sapphire-paved courts are now replaced by a stable floor. Turning for home now. At the top of this sermon, we began by thinking about a woman unexpectedly giving birth on a plane journey between Jordan and England. And as we shared details of that event, while we know the incident occurred in a modern context that involved an aeroplane and latterly a hospital in southern Italy, in the moment itself, mother and baby and those helping, they found themselves in a really humbling situation. They found themselves on the floor of the aeroplane with nothing more than towels to aid delivery. And that humbling scene then helped us to think about the humble circumstances that surrounded the birth of God's son, Jesus. Mary gives birth to baby Jesus in a place normally set aside for the storage of animals. Mary wraps baby Jesus in strips of torn cloth. Mary puts baby Jesus to rest in a trough for animal feed. And as we survey the beginning of Jesus' life on earth, what is stopping us this morning from embracing by faith God's humble King? To someone here this morning, to you watching online, what is stopping us from embracing by faith God's humble King? You know, when Princess Kate gave birth at different times to Prince George, Princess Charlotte, and Prince Louis, said another way, when the living Lord God gave this nation heirs to the throne, Princess Kate was not, understandably, anywhere near a pub, a stable, or a cave. No, when the time came for Princess Kate to give birth, the Lindo wing of St. Mary's Hospital in Paddington, London, rehearsed a plan that ensured the best for all concerned, the best for the royal family. By contrast, the King of the Universe, his entrance into this fallen world, his entrance is really low key. But by being low key, Jesus makes himself available to everyone who might be interested in finding him by faith. The King of the Universe may be approached by royals and commoners alike. But why is it important by faith to seek Jesus while he may be found? It's important because there is a day coming when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will enter into this world for the second and final time. And when he does, it won't be as a vulnerable baby. Rather, on that great day that we know is coming, God's word tells us that every knee will bow. Every knee. From king to commoner, every knee will bow. As King Jesus returns to this fallen world with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet sound of God, and the hosts of heaven to judge the living and the dead. To those of us who humbly love Jesus, we know that that humbleness that he gives to us, that humbleness for him leads to everlasting joy with him. But to all who reject King Jesus, the Bible is clear. As we reject him, so one day he will reject us. He will cast his enemies into outer darkness, where there will be perpetual regret and never-ending shame. And so while this day is still young, and it is, let all of us humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time, King Jesus may exalt us in the kingdom of heaven forevermore.